And that's, you know, that's really flat on there. Let it go. House Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs on Tuesday, January 22 at 1991 at 1:15 p.m. in Hearing Room F of the State Capitol Building. This is a public hearing on House Bill 2297 and House Bill 2298.
Order.
At this point, I'm going to turn the gavel over to the Vice Chair, and committee members, I'll be leaving in about 30 minutes to go to a meeting called by President Kishofer regarding land use planning that we hope to solve. That big naughty problem. I don't know if we do it all in one meeting, but I'll be gone the rest of the afternoon. Then.
We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 2298. I'd like to ask Tim Wood to come up and give us his statement, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Timothy Wood. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the Oregon Department of Justice. My primary responsibility at the Oregon Department of Justice is I'm the attorney in charge for the financial fraud section. That's probably what you've known as the consumer protection section. I appreciate the opportunity taking me out of order. I have another committee meeting that I'm to be at this time. And I would ask the committee to take a look. I did prepare written testimony on the two bills that will be before the committee this afternoon. I'd like to use my time, if I may, Madam Chair, to address my concerns regarding 2297 rather than 2298. Would that?
That'll be fine.
That'll be fine. 2297, for those of you on the committee, is what I have characterized as a total vehicle bill or branding bill. And you'll find that the Department of Justice interest in this particular bill is threefold. Number one is we want to protect the consumers. Two, we want to keep unsafe vehicles off the road. Three, we want to foster legitimate competitions among dealers. I believe the committee is going to have an opportunity this afternoon to hear from those who deal with cars that have been damaged, salvaged, totaled, whatever the term is that you want to use this afternoon, and the problems that they present for consumers, for people in the industry, for used car dealers, for new car dealers, etc. And I'm not going to take the committee's time to explain those problems. What I'd like to do is just, number one, tell you what we have been doing currently and the problems that are created with the current law. And number two, to offer a suggestion or a proposed amendment, if you will, that the court, that the committee could consider this afternoon. The first thing is the committee may ask, well, what does the Department of Justice do now regarding cars that have been totaled or damaged? Totaled or salvaged. We have taken the position that if a dealer, new or used car dealer, sells a car that has been totaled, that it is essential that they disclose that fact to the consumer before the sale. And when we find dealers that who have engaged in a continual practice of selling cars that have been totaled, then we have taken action against them under the Unlawful Trade Practices Act. A number of new members on the committee may not be familiar with that particular act. It's a law that gives the Attorney General authority to seek penalties up to $25,000 per willful violation, to ask for injunctions, to get attorney's fees and other appropriate relief. The problem we found, quite frankly, is it's difficult to police. It's difficult to determine when, in fact, a car is totaled or wrecked. You'll find when you look at the what's on the books currently, is that if a car has been wrecked or totaled, and then they define that to mean that the car is less than 4 years old and the cost of repairs is 80% or more of the market value, then that is supposed to be set forth on the title. Now think about that. less than 4 years old, that certainly doesn't present a problem. But let's talk about value. That how are you going to determine that the cost of the repairs exceeds 80% of the market value? And what I would suggest to you is that perhaps inadvertently or intentionally that individuals could play games with that value. And so what we find are that there are a substantial number of cars in the marketplace that have been substantially damaged, I would suggest in excess of 80%, but it's not branded. It's not, the consumer is not aware of that fact. So one of the things that this particular bill does is try to address that problem and to try to make it clear when it is that a consumer or an insurance company is to brand a particular title. And what you'll find is when you look at Section 2 of House Bill 2297, that totaled vehicle is defined as a vehicle that is declared a total loss by an insurer that is obligated to cover the loss. And what I come before the committee with this afternoon is a proposed amendment, or at least would ask you to tighten that definition down, because what I would suggest is that definition may be circular. Because once again, we leave it in the hand of the insurance company to make a determination as to whether they're going to declare that vehicle a total loss or not. And the proposal that I have is that I think what we ought to do is take subjectivity out of it and make it a clear, bright line so that everybody's working with the same rules. And you'll see on page 2 of my testimony that there is proposed language there. My understanding is that the auto body craftsman this afternoon will also have some proposed language which will tighten that definition down. And what I'm simply saying is that, okay, if they declare it a total, fine. Or what is it that consumers understand? If you get your car wrecked and the insurance company says to you, we're not going to repair it, then I would suggest every one of us and every consumer that you talk about said, well, wait a minute. If the insurance company is not repairing that, then that car must be totaled, regardless of what it would have cost to repair it. So my language tries to deal with that particular problem. Now, one of the things we heard, I wanted to share two things with you. One was my opportunity to deal with this particular problem with many car dealers throughout the state, new and used. And what I want to share with you is what they told me is that many of them won't deal in these cars. They think that their reputation is too important. And what they tell me, though, is that how they are being damaged. Because if they're not dealing in these automobiles, the guy across the street who is able to buy that wrecked or salvaged car for $1,500 up to $4,000 less. And then what they do is they sell it as if it was not a wrecked or totaled car. And therefore, the person who is in competition not dealing with those cars is losing $1,500 to $4,000 a sale to his or her competitor. The other situation is that when dealing with the insurance company, they indicate that they may be forced to buy back a car for a variety of reasons other than the fact that the car was totaled. If this is the case, the proposed amendment is still necessary to provide a clear, bright line for all individuals dealing with the car. More importantly, the insurance company will not be prejudiced because the marketplace will take the reason for the buyback into consideration when considering buying the car. When the facts are disclosed to everyone, the insurance company, the new and used car dealer, and the consumer, no one will be injured economically because everyone will be dealing with all of the facts. So with that in mind, those are the department's comments on House Bill 2297. Our comments on 2298 is pretty basic. Basically, we'll leave that call as to whether you need an auto body craftsman board to the committee. We would ask that you make sure, as with the creation of any board, that you give it a Ways and Means referral, because it makes no sense to create this board with all the powers that are set forth in the bill unless they have revenues to enforce the bill that you've enacted. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions from the committee? On either bill, as long as we have time here. Representative Nato.
Are machinists, people that work on the engines of cars, is that covered at all, or is this just focusing more on the body work, that type of thing?
It's the body work. I mean, well, which bill are you talking about here?
Oh, the, I think...
The auto body craftsman?
Yeah.
You'll need to look at the at the legislation.
Further questions? Thank you, Tim. We'll continue on with testimony on House Bill 2298. Three of you here together, if you'd like to come up. Mace Monroe, Dave Lair, and Janet Cheney.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Janet Cheney. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen Association, and I'm here in support of House Bill 2289. I'm here today to speak in support of House Bill 2298, the bill that would create a licensing board to regulate auto body repair shops in Oregon. The essence of this bill, self-regulation, is a concept that has been discussed for a number of years within our industry. It is becoming increasingly apparent to auto body craftsman shops that there are many people repairing cars that are not qualified to return a damaged car safely back to its pre-collision condition. This is evidenced by the number of vehicles which are brought to our member shops that need to be re-repaired. It is safe to say that the majority of these original repairs make these vehicles unsafe to drive on Oregon streets and highways. Consequently, consumers and insurers are having to pay for the same repairs again because of the poor quality of the original repair. The intent of this bill is not to put anyone out of business. The intent of this bill is to raise the standards of professionalism in the collision repair business to ensure consumer safety. We are proposing to raise our professional standards by establishing an auto body repair licensing board. This board would license and regulate any place of business who wholly or partially is engaged in the auto body repair, collision repair, or reconstruction of automobile or truck bodies for compensation. The licensing board will include a member of the Department of Insurance and Finance, Department of Motor Vehicles, Department of Justice, an Association of Insurer of Motor Vehicles, an Association of Collision Repair Shops. The board would then, in effect, adopt rules that would establish sanitary standards for the workplace, establish minimum requirements for the licensure of auto body repair shops, including equipment, employee standards, performance bonds, license fees, and a continuing education course. The board would also establish a program to provide for the inspection of auto body shops, including frequency of inspections, inspection fees, duties of inspectors, establish procedures for sublet work, establish penalties for those who do auto body work but are not licensed. This board would be funded by licensing fees that auto body shops would pay annually. This fee would range from $250 to $300 and would generate approximately $425,000 to $595,000 per biennium. We believe that this board can help set the high standard by which everyone in our industry must achieve in order to provide the safest repairs possible for consumers. We have provided two other provisions in this bill that we believe will help guarantee consumer safety. One of these provisions is Section 11 of the bill, which requires an auto body repair shop to report a totaled vehicle to the Motor Vehicles Division if the shop is requested to repair the vehicle. The other provision that we believe will help provide consumer safety with the quality repair of vehicles has to do with the insurance companies and what work they will reimburse for. Section 17 of the bill specifies that in every contract of insurance that covers repair to a motor vehicle, an insurer will not reimburse either the vehicle owner or an auto body shop for repairs to a vehicle that is a total vehicle unless the repairs are made in an auto body repair shop that has a valid license issued by the Auto Body Licensing Board. We believe that both these provisions will help enforce DMV's title branding by establishing a system by which a total vehicle can be identified and help made safer by a licensed professional auto body craftsman. The Oregon Auto Body Craftsman Association firmly believes that this regulatory proposal will help our industry by creating a professional standard for all. I would like to introduce some shop owners from around the state of Oregon that have come to testify in support of this bill today. Some are members of the association and some are not. To my left is David Lohr, who is a shop owner in Salem and a member of the Auto Body Craftsman. In fact, he's our new secretary of the association. And to my right is Mace Monroe, who owns a very large shop in Beaverton, Precision Body and Paint, and he's not a member of our association. From Springfield, Oregon, Patty, would you stand up? Patricia McConnell, excuse me, from Old Dominion Body and Frame in Springfield, Oregon. Thank you. Fred Lenenko, Specialty Auto Body, South Beach, Oregon. And Jim Corliss, Corliss Paint and Repair in Corvallis. At this time, I think David has some testimony, and then we'll answer your questions.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. As Janet said, my name is Dave Lohr, and I own a small collision shop here in Salem, and I am a member of the Oregon Auto Body Craftsman. I'm 25 years old, and I've been in this industry for 10 years. And my wife and I have been in business for ourselves for 3 years. Obviously, I'm here today to talk about the licensing bill and why I believe in it and maybe answer a couple questions that you guys might have. I see this bill as a great opportunity to create some new standards that I feel are badly needed. I'm only 25 years old, but I've learned already that the consumers need some type of protection from unsafe repairs. I've seen a lot of poorly repaired cars come into my shop. I've turned away a dozen or more of them just because I didn't want to get involved in a sticky situation because of the poor repairs. I hate to compare it to electricians being licensed, but I'm going to anyway. An electrician is licensed, and they've got a big responsibility in making sure that when they wire a house, that the house doesn't burn down or somebody doesn't get electrocuted. And I feel in that aspect, this type of licensing would be advantageous for everybody. I'm not saying that there's a lot of house fires because of it, but I bet it's a lot less likely now that we have licensed electricians. People driving a car of the 80s or 90s they're driving in a death trap if they're driving in a vehicle that has been repaired improperly. And when I say that, I don't mean a car that's had a little bit too much body filler put in the door or the paint doesn't quite match the fender when the paint is put on the hood. That's not what I mean. What I mean by an unsafe repair is when somebody unknowingly will take a frame rail and splice it where it's not supposed to be spliced, use the wrong type of welding equipment, and they don't know anything about the manufacturer's recommendations or have a metal inert gas type welder to do it with. And this is the type of equipment that's needed to correctly repair a what we call a unitized body car. And I don't think it's that these people just don't care. I feel that a lot of them just don't know any better. And as you know, the bill would include training, and I feel that training is very essential. And it's not that expensive to go to a few courses here and there. You know, they come into town every other week, it seems like, and we'll send a technician to it, and it is definitely a lot cheaper than injuries or even lives lost due to an accident. In this type of forum, it's hard to explain the hows and whys and everything of repairing a vehicle. We don't have a car right here to show you how it's supposed to be welded or how the frame is supposed to be pulled into specs. I'm sure myself, along with a few other shop owners in your areas, would be more than willing to give an informative demonstration if you would like. Someone told me a long time ago that if you think customers first, you've got it made. Well, that person wasn't completely right, because it's still been an uphill battle all the way, but we do think customers first, and I wouldn't be here today if I didn't believe in that philosophy. And I think that this bill is definitely a customer's first type of bill, and I think it'll help the consumer in our industry tremendously by providing a standard. I've got a lot of high goals set for myself, for my family, and my customers, and in my business. And I want to work in an industry of mostly true professionals. And I think this bill is a huge step in the right direction. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask me? Or anybody?
How did you come up with this fee range?
The fee for the...
that the auto body shops would be paying annually?
Would you like to handle that, Janet?
That was discussed a year ago when we first wrote this legislation, and I think that was taken from another state that does have a licensing bill, I believe. We haven't done any fiscal type of study on this.
Madam Chair.
Senator Barnes.
Either one of you, would you care to explain what do you mean by the term auto body craftsman? Is it all encompassing as it pertains to repair of an automobile, transmission, or just the body itself?
I think the gentleman that preceded us in his testimony used the term auto body craftsman quite a few times, and that may have misled you a little bit, but. We are referring mainly to the structural and body repairs of the vehicle, and not so much the mechanical aspect, although that does overlap in a lot of instances.
I'd like Representative Barnes, if I could add something to that. This is exclusively for the collision repair shop. Sometimes in accidents there might be some mechanical work, or drivetrain work or something that needs to be done as a part of the collision repair. But I think when they say auto body craftsman, they're referring to the collision repair shop.
Well, I guess, Madam Chair, my question would be then, so your license for the structural part, do we also license the people who work on the engine, the transmission, the brakes? Hypothetical question.
Mace, would you like to answer that?
Well, I think something like that is covered under the auto body.
Excuse me. Before you start, you need to identify yourself.
Oh, I'm Mace Monroe. Thank you. General Manager of Precision Body and Paint in Beaverton. When it gets into the mechanical or the transmission or differential, that generally is a sublet item, and the auto body shop is still responsible for the standard of quality. So he stands in line first to be sure that those repairs are made safe to the standards of the industry and the manufacturer. And the sublet shop then responsibility is only to the auto body shop who contracted for the job to start with.
Thank you.
Representative Oakley? I was curious, how many other states have this board that you're looking to get?
Only two that we know of, New Hampshire and Nevada.
Apparently, there is.
If we need to identify yourself.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Dave Luer from Salem. According to a few sources around the country, there's many states that are trying to enact a bill such as this. And I, to any more specific than that, I can't answer.
Yeah, on its face, this sounds like a good idea. I'm curious, have you tried to bring forth this legislation before, and what happened? And why now have you decided that this is the time to do it?
Representative Stein, this is the first time we've brought this type of legislation to Salem. And we perceive the need being stronger than ever to license a body shop, because today's automobile has so much technology in it that if it is not repaired properly, it's a life-threatening situation for the passengers of the car. And we want to, there's no criteria or standards for an auto body repair shop at this point in time, and that's what we're trying to create.
Additional questions?
Yes,
I guess I'm getting back to something Representative Barnes said. There's no licensing requirement, though, to work on an engine. Is that right?
I don't believe so, no.
You're relying on the Unfair Trade Practices Act.
Correct.
To remedy any problems.
Yes.
With that. Okay.
Further questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Oakley.
The other states that do not have these boards, are there any that have handled this in a different way than to go to this board or commission situation that have been successful?
No, not to my knowledge. And it's something, as David said, it's kind of rising around the country now. I think we'll see a lot more of this coming.
Thank you.
Macy, do you have a statement that you wanted to make?
Yes.
And please go ahead and identify yourself again.
My name is Mace Monroe, General Manager of Precision Body and Paint. Madam Chairman, committee members, we are not members of the Auto Body Craftsman Association. We're an independent shop. Precision came into existence some 15 years ago. This organization was conceived by an idea that it was still possible to start a new business and do it right, do it by the book, and abide by all the laws of the land. Our organization believes the safety of the employee and the environment is more important than profits. And production of safe, quality auto repairs, free of fraud, is the right of the consumer. My testimony is in support of this licensing bill, 2298. This bill will bring about a mature, responsible industry, responsibility for safety, responsibility for consumer satisfaction. This bill gives us the tools to self-govern, to bring about this envisioned mature industry. This bill addresses four of my concerns. The first is the health of the employee in the workplace, where so often there is absolutely no monitoring for safety in these workplaces by government agencies. The help who work in these unsafe shops can't quit. They have families to feed and bills to pay, and no one to turn to. They have spray, they spray without spray booths, polluting the air with lead and isocyanates with potential poisoning, and loading the atmosphere with organic solvents. Ventilation in prep areas is non-existent, with silicon dust, heavy metals, lead, and so forth. They have air pressure systems put together with PVC pipe, pressure tanks not checked or licensed by the state, unsafe wiring. Fire marshals don't inspect. They don't know where they're at. Lack of OSHA basic requirements. Secondly, the damage to the environment. They puke out unprocessed contaminated painting air, air containing lead, chromium, and other heavy metals, and volatile or VOCs. volatile organic compounds. There is illegal dumping and burning of auto body and paint garbage. This garbage contains, again, heavy metals, paints, particulates going into the air, and the paint and contaminants soaking into the soil. There is legal dumping of DEQ-determined hazardous contaminants into the soil, such as antifreeze, battery acid, waste thinners. There is no management of batteries, freon, antifreeze, and waste solvents, and lack of enforcement of DEQ and EPA requirements. Thirdly, there is unsafe collision repairs because of lack of proper repair equipment, such as frame straighteners, gauges, and welders. And there is lack of knowledge about front ends, frames, and HS steel. There is lack of training and skill, which results in unsafe structural repairs. They turn off these cars and then hurl them down the highway at my family and yours. Fourth, there is consumer fraud. The public being defrauded by unsafe repairs, incomplete work, or no repairs at all. This results in diminished value. I have presented photographs of only one shop, of which I know there are many. This shop worked out of a barn in Washington, rural Washington County. This young fellow, he gets accident reports from the motor vehicle. He calls the people at home and promises them free rental cars, cover all their deductible, and with proper repairs, new parts, and so forth.